Amen. I love that song. I love that song. God's going to turn it around. Amen. It is with great honor that I get to introduce the speaker for today. He is a brother, a friend, and a comedian. You might not know that about him, but he is a comedian too. But he is anointed. He's anointed. Give ear, pay attention to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this moment, in this hour. So I want to introduce, bring to the stage, Minister Brian Rice.
Bless you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise God in this place. Come on. Come on, if you believe that late in the midnight hour he's going to turn it around, I think you ought to give him some praise in this place. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Your breakthrough is in the praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Stop worrying about it. Praise him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. You know he inhabits the praises of his people. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have your seats. God is truly worthy to be praised on today. There's absolutely none like him. I just thank God for an opportunity to come before you and speak with you a little bit. I'm a teacher. I love to teach. So we're going to go to school today. Is that all right? God is truly worthy on today. Today I want to talk to you about one of the most underutilized weapons that we have in our arsenal as a believer. And that's prayer. So how many of you know that talking about it or complaining about it is not praying about it? All right, I'm going to say that on this side. So talking about it, complaining about it, is not praying about it. You got to pray about it. When we look around and we see what's going on in our world, it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get overwhelmed. It's easy to get stressed out. Somebody say, but God. See, that's where our trust has to be as believers. We've got to trust in God regardless of what's going on around us because he's more than able, amen? Now, at the beginning of 2017, Pastor Locke gave us a mandate. You guys remember what that mandate was? Okay, so we're going to do it on three. One, two, three. Have we been doing that? Remember, I just told you that talking about it and complaining about it is not praying about it. I love the Amplified translation of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. That's where that scripture comes from. It says, be unceasing and persistent in prayer. So unceasing and persistent in prayer. So my title this morning is, it begins and ends with prayer. I'm going to say that one more again. It begins and ends with prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We just honor you. We glorify your name, Lord God. We thank you that there is absolutely none like you, Lord God. Father God, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace, Father God, that you extend to us on a daily basis, Lord God. So today, Lord God, I pray for your anointing, Lord God. I pray that you would help me to make the book talk, Lord God, so that from the most immature to the theologian, Lord God, and everybody in between would leave this place differently, Lord God, empowered, Lord God, and grateful, Lord God. And we'll be so careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And it's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us turn to Matthew 6, 5 and 6. Hallelujah. When you get there, say amen. Either a whole lot of y'all don't have your Bibles or y'all still turning. Amen. Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6 reads, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So I want you to get personal now. Read this under your breath as I'm reading. It says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So he gives us specific instructions as a believer. He says, when you pray, I don't know about everybody else. He said, I don't want you to be like the hypocrites. I don't know about anybody else, but what I'm doing, I'm talking to you right now. So I want us each to take this personally. He says, but when you pray, I need you to go into your closet, shut the door, pray to the Father who's in secret, and the Father who sees in secret will be rewarding you openly. So what you have to understand as a believer, that we have to set time aside in our secret place to pray to the Father. Listen, everybody's schedule's busy. Everybody's schedule's busy. And whose schedule's more busier than God's? But he's always there for us. He's always answering. So what we have to do, and we have to make it, this should be a way of life. Prayer should be a way of life. See, I think when we were coming up, we were always taught that there was a certain posture you had to be in when you were praying. So if I'm down on my knees, well, you can't do that if you're driving to work, right? So there's different postures that you can still pray. We just have to use wisdom. Say, God, give me wisdom on how, okay, listen, God, you know I got to get up at 4:30 to get to where I'm going. I got to be out the house at 4:30. So I need to sleep all the way up to almost 3:30, 3:45 before I get on the road. When you get in the car, that can be your room. That could be your room. Turn the radio off. You know, turn the radio off for a minute and just say, God, I'm just going to spend this time with you. Me, I commute. I commute from Boardman to Newcastle every day, the Queen and I. I'm going to put a pin right there. Is that all right? I want to thank Pastor Locke for giving me this opportunity to speak to you guys. First Lady, Pastor Mike, render honor where honor is due. And last but not least, my queen is in the building. My queen, Marquita, I thank you. I thank God for her. And Princess Zoe, who's sitting beside her, and her friend Aaron. Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So what we have to do, we have to understand that we have to make time for prayer. No. Let me say that again. You have to make time for prayer. Because if it was up to us, we'd be asleep. Oh, I can use 15 more minutes. But see, then we wonder why all H-E double hockey sticks is breaking out when you get to work. Pray before you go in. Listen, if it takes for you to leave early, get there. Listen, we know what we deal with when we go into work. And we know what's waiting for us a lot of time when we get in there, when we go to work. Remember, I told you, talking about it and complaining about it is not praying about it. So let's change our posture. Let's change our attitude toward prayer. And Jesus, he was the greatest example for us. He always stilled away. No matter what was going on, he always found a way to get off to himself and pray. And I'm going to just run through some scriptures here. Matthew 14 and 23, if you're taking notes, write that down. Matthew 14 and 23 says, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. So you got to make time for yourself. You got to get off to yourself and pray to the Father. Matthew 6 and 46 says, after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. Luke 6 and 12, it was at that time that he went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And one of my favorite ones here is Mark 1:35. It says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. So as believers, we have to have a consistent and persistent prayer life. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Consistent and persistent prayer. And I'm going to say this to you. Prayer is instrumental in your spiritual growth. I'm going to say that again. And during my messages, I always want you to do a self-evaluation. Self-evaluation. This is because he gave it to me first, and I had to deal with me on it. before I brought it to you. So it's more of an impartation. So when I'm speaking to you, it's not as though I'm not applying these same things to myself. Amen? So consistent and persistent in prayer. Now, if prayer is the instrument, is instrumental in our spiritual growth, we have to decide, we have to wonder why sometimes. Why are we not growing? Why are we not growing? How much time are we really spending with God? And see, I think sometimes, and maybe it's just me, we won't spend time with God because of what he might tell us about us. Okay, see, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I think sometimes we don't go into prayer because we're afraid of what God might tell us about ourselves. See, because when we come into church, we have a church face. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored. God is good. And no doubt that he is. But listen, it's all right sometimes to say, I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got more bills than money. Once again, those are complaints. We talking about it is not praying about it. Amen? And at this point in our life, we should definitely be past the now I lay me down to sleep prayer. See, we laughing, but we got some people that have been in the faith for a minute. They either scared to pray when you ask them, or they give you about two or three sentences. See, because if you're spending time with the Father, just think about a relationship that you have with someone in the natural. I got a relationship with my wife. How strong do you think that relationship would be if I didn't speak with her? If I didn't talk with her? You know, and sometimes I'm gonna say some things that she may not like and she may not be responding back. Doesn't mean that she didn't hear me. And in prayer, sometimes you got to be quiet. So it's not always talking. Sometimes God will speak to you in that still, small voice, but we got too much noise in our ears. We got the music going on. We got this going on. We got that going on. And he's saying, son, just turn all that off. Daughter, just turn all of that off. Amen? Our consistency or lack thereof in our prayer life is a snapshot of our consistency or lack thereof in our relationship with the Savior. I'm going to let that sink in. Our consistency or lack thereof in our prayer life is a snapshot of our consistency or lack of consistency in our relationship with God. Now you think about it. You examine your own self. You examine how close your relationship is with God. Do you just go to him when you need something? Do you just go to him when things are going bad at work? Or do you continually go to him on a daily basis? Because what we should be doing is going to him often and daily. When it's going good, pray. When it's not going so good, pray. When you think you know what's going on, pray. When you don't know what's going on, pray. When you're confused, pray. Bottom line is, pray without ceasing. Amen? Now, as we grow in our relationship with Christ, one thing that I found, and I can only speak for myself, one thing I found is that as you mature in the faith, your prayer life should go from ritualistic to relational. I'm going to say that again. As you mature in the faith, and this is a gauge for yourselves, just gauge yourself, your prayer life should transition from ritualistic to relational. Ritualistic says, I have to do this because this is what I've been told I'm supposed to do. And I just do it out of routine. There's no sincerity in it. There's no heart. You're just going through the motions. That's ritualistic. Relational says, because of the covenant that I have with God through my Savior Jesus, it's paramount that I commune with him. Otherwise, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Amen? And the other thing, when he wakes us up in the morning, you know that's not the time to grab the remote and turn the TV on, right? No, I'm going to say that again because I used to do it. Like I say, I'm speaking from this impartation because God gave it to me and he showed me. What we do, God wakes us up. When he wakes us up, he wants to talk to us. It's not for us to grab the remote, get on the internet. He wants to talk to us because he knows what's coming up in that day. He wants to prepare you for that day. But what we do, we grab that remote. I can't sleep. pray. Amen. So you have to figure out what stage you are in your life. Do you pray because you've been told to? Or do you pray because you know the importance of your covenant with God and how it helps the relationship as you talk with him? So I'm going to give you a personal example. This happened about 6 years ago. Totally changed my prayer life. I'm retired Navy. I was stationed in Italy, and I had a friend. And he used to always carry this binder into work. And I'm looking at him. And so I finally asked him, I said, "Excuse me, Bishop, why do you always carry a binder?" He says, "Well, I write my prayers out." I'm like, "You write your prayers out?" He said, "Yeah." So he showed me. He showed me how he wrote his prayers out. So what I did is I said, "You know what? I'm going to try that." Now, I'll tell you that initially it was ritualistic. I would write my prayers out and I would just read them. But as I began to see God answering those prayers, it transitioned from ritualistic to relational. And this is how I started the prayers. Everything that I asked or any request that I made, I said, "Thank you, God, for." Thank you, God, for. So when we're thanking God beforehand, we're going to him with expectation, and we're going to him in faith already. So begin to thank God for what you're asking him for before you even get it. See, because if I have to wait until I see it, that's not faith. That's not faith. So when we go to God, we have to understand that God desires to bless us like none other. Let's give God the hand praise. Amen. And so even in that, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it tells us that we are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything. I'm going to back up again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that we should let our requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So what are we anxious about? What are we anxious about? Bless you, whoever said that. Because I know that's not the case for the majority. We're anxious about something. Some of us are here physically right now, but mentally we're somewhere else. We wonder, how am I gonna get this bill paid? We wonder, where Pastor Locke at? All right, y'all, fix your face. So we have to understand, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we got to let our requests be made known unto God. He'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen? And, you know, during those 6 years that what we're seeing in our life right now is 6 years of praying. See, we pray on Monday, and if the breakthrough don't come on Friday, we stop praying. I'm telling you, this has been 6 years of praying. And so in our praying, we were thanking God in advance, whether it was Zoe getting into college and going to school and figuring out, okay, how are we going to pay for that? I thanked him. I didn't worry about it. I prayed, and I thanked him. Now she's going to school for 2 years, and we ain't paying a cent. That's what God does. And he'll do the same thing for you. This was the other thing. Worked in the school, volunteered in the high school in Newcastle for 4 years, worked for 2 years, was going back to school to get my master's. And so God laid on my heart, he says, "You write a job proposal for a social worker in this school district because they need it." I said, "Okay, Dad, that's what I'll do." Wrote it, sat down and talked with the superintendent. I've been hired full-time as a social worker in the school. And y'all excuse my English on this. And just when I thought it couldn't get no gooder, my wife had been working at the school too. She was a one-on-one in the same school district. So we sit down at negotiations, and I'm sitting across the table, and we're discussing salary and benefits and all that stuff. And before I could say anything, he says, Oh, you know we're going to hire your wife full time too. Come on, don't tell me God. Come on, listen, if y'all don't praise him, I'm going to praise him. See, but this is 6 years of praying. And that now, I'm not trying to look super spiritual to you up here. I missed some days. I missed some times. Not supposed to pray. But I was as consistent and persistent as I could be. And so that's what we do a lot of times. We beat ourselves up when we don't meet the mark that we think we should be making. God's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He understands all that. So what you have to do is dust yourself off, quit beating yourself up over every misstep that you make. There was a reason Jesus went to the cross for us, for that reason. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He says, if you sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So when you miss the mark, you got to go to him. That's a part of the prayer. One of the things that I had incorporated in my prayer time was the acronym ACTS, and I didn't give it to Myron. The acronym ACTS, and it's how I approach God. It's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So it helped me on how to enter into his presence. God, I adore you. Father, I thank you today. I honor you. I glorify your name. Now, Father, forgive me for I'm confessing. Now, Father, forgive me for any sin that I've sinned against you, Lord God. I thank you that you said if I would confess my sins, you'd be faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, God, I thank you. Now we're on the T. God, I thank you that you've forgiven me. I thank you that I can move forward in you. I thank you that you're opening doors that no man can close in supplication. Now, Father, continue to watch over my family. Continue to keep me, Lord God, like only you can. Come on, God is waiting. He's waiting on us. See, we keep saying we waiting on God, and I just picture him just sitting there like, if they would only come to me, I got the answers for him. But he's such a gentleman, he's not going to come at you that way. He wants you to come to him. Amen. I love David says, I think it's Psalms 27 and 13, he says, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So when I'm praying to God, I'm believing already. I'm speaking those things that be not as though they were. And that's how we've got to be. Amen? Amen? Now we're getting ready to go to school. Because in that secret place, we just talked about acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We just talked about that. Now, many of us, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, right? Did we do that? Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Why? Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Leviticus 16. There's a lot of scripture here, but I want us to go to school. I want you to get there. I want you to get there. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses, 35 scriptures, but we're going to dash through here. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil. Veil. Remember veil. Remember veil. Myron, put one of those pictures up on the of Solomon's temple. Before the mercy seat is on the ark, lest he die. So we see that initially, we didn't have access into the most holy place. Only the priests could go into the holy place. And they could only go into that place once a year to provide atonement or sin or repentance for the sins of Israel. So stay with me. Thus Aaron, this is verse 3, thus Aaron shall come into the holy place. And it's a lot of sacrificing going on. It's a lot of blood sacrifices and different things like that, which all ties into Jesus when he went to the cross and shedding the blood for the sins of the world. Amen. I'm going to jump down to 6. And shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement. I'm going to skip down to 8. Then Aaron shall cast lots for 2 goats, one for the Lord and the other Lot for the scapegoat. Now the scapegoat, and we've heard that term before, and when Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering, but the goat on which the lot fell and the scapegoat shall present it alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it. Here's what I want you to catch. And to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. So he had his hands on him, on the goat. So what he ended up doing on the scapegoat, he sent them out into the wilderness. That was symbolic of taking away the sins of the people. Amen? As you'll see, Myron, give me the other picture, please. As you'll see, you had the court. You have the court, the upper court. Then you have the holy place. And then you have the most holy place. Well, the priest hung out in the holy place, right? That's where he made his offerings, the blood offerings, all of this that we're reading about. And this was just a foreshadow of what Christ was going to do once and for all when he was sacrificed. So there was a curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. Amen? So in that separation, what ends up happening is if the priest went in there, he'd fall dead. That's how serious this was. If he went into the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the presence of the Lord was, he'd fall dead. Amen? So let's fast forward. So we see in Leviticus, and in your study time, I encourage you to read this. I encourage you to read this because they had to go through so many rituals and guidelines and different things like that. They actually had a bell. You know, the priest had a bell on the bottom of his robe, per se. You know why he had that bell on? Because if he went in there and he wasn't right, so you hear, okay, here we go. I'm going in. Jingle, 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 jingle. You stop hearing the jingle, guess what happened? He fell dead. See, God didn't play. Now, what if God... was like that to us today if we weren't in the dispensation of grace and mercy? How many of us would be laying right over our chairs right now? But we can't take his mercy and grace for granted. Amen? And so we say, why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Okay. Matthew 28:18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them. So I went from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Once again, I encourage you to read all of Leviticus 16. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he gives them the Great Commission. I'm going to skip down to Matthew 27:51. It says, then behold, this is big, the veil of the temple. This is when during the time that Jesus was crucified on the cross. It says, then behold, verse 51, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. So when Jesus gave his life and he gave up his final ghost, the separation between the holy place and the most holy place is now open to us. Come on, y'all got to give him some praise on that. We now have access to him. Okay. So Hebrews 4:12-14 says, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was tempted in every way, yet he was without sin. So let us boldly approach the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy in our time of need. During the Day of Atonement, there's no way that we could get in there. The Israelites had to have someone go in on their behalf. We don't have that. We don't have that interruption anymore. We don't have that. Now we have full access to God. Come on. You really got to get that. We have full access to God. Full access. You have access. So what are we doing with our access? It makes no sense or it makes no difference if you have the access and you're not using it. He has given us access. He said he wants you so you can come in. This is the thing. He can identify with you. It says he was tempted in every way, yet he was without sin. See, that's why Jesus had to live here. He'd done ministry for the 3 years. He can identify with us. He can empathize with us. So don't think there's something that you can take him that he won't be ready for. So that's what you have to understand. God set this thing up like only God can. I mean, he sends his son. He lives among us. He's tempted in every way. So when we go to him, we can't say, well, God, you just don't understand. No, he understands. And he wants you to share whatever it is that's bothering you with him. Amen? So why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Philippians 2, 10 and 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the name of Jesus is recognized in three different worlds. Heaven, earth, and under the earth. If you look at one of the scriptures, it was saying that when the veil was torn from top to bottom, the people in the grave began to get up. That's how much power is in the name of Jesus. So why aren't we unleashing the name of Jesus? You know, there is something about when you're getting ready to get into an accident or something's getting ready to happen and it comes upon you, what you holler, Jesus! See, but that should be a way of life for us. When we get up every morning, it don't have to be a crisis going on for us to say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So what I want us to do today is I really want us to understand that it begins and it ends with prayer. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual development. God is still standing there with open arms. He's still standing there with open arms. But my mom had a saying. She said, baby, a closed mouth don't get fed. So as long as we keep all this stuff to ourselves, first of all, we implode. We implode. So why am I stressing? Because you're not releasing it. He's clear. He says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, he says, cast your cares upon me. Why? Because I care for you. So there's nothing that you can take God that'll catch him off guard. There's nothing that you can take God that'll surprise him. So why don't we pray more? Why aren't we more consistent and persistent in our prayer? Amen. And I encourage you, write your prayers out. See how that works for you. It worked great for me, but everybody's different. We have to learn also, too, to add to our toolbox when it comes to prayer. Throw this up, Myron. This book right here, I'm going to say it again. This book right here has changed my life. Prayers That Rout Demons. It's by John Eckert. And what I love about it, he has different prayers for different things. If you need confession, if you getting up in the morning, because there's times I get up in the morning and I'm like, I don't feel like I'm as saved as I should be. Is that all right? I'm not as saved as I should be. I might have missed the mark in something last night or what have you. I love the confessions. He says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And what I love about it is it not only has the scripture written out, but it has where the scripture is in the Bible. See, the Bible tells us to put him in remembrance of his word. It's not for his benefit. It's for our benefit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I purposely walk through the house, and I read these out loud to myself. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. All I'm doing is putting him in remembrance of his word. What's in your toolbox? What are you using to pray to get closer to God? How is your relationship with God? I mean, is it every now and then I talk to him? When I need something, I talk to him? So let's flip the script. How would you feel? How would you feel if the shoe was on the other foot? Only time I called you is when I needed something from you. He's not a vending machine. He wants to be in every area of your life. Yet, even that area that you've compartmentalized, okay, God, you can get in here, but right there, I don't want you in there. You can skeet around this way, but that one, nah, don't mess with that. I'm not ready for you yet. I liken that to when we say, I got to get myself together before I get saved. It's going to be a long time before you get saved. God desires for you to come as you are. He'll fix all that other stuff that you're dealing with and you're struggling with in the whole nine. Now, I will tell you this. When you give your life to Christ, certain things God will deliver you from right away. Certain things, it's a process. So don't think it's strange if you come up, give your life to Christ, and leave with the struggle as you go out the door. You're just more equipped now to handle the struggles because you can cast that care upon him because he cares for you. But if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, your communication to God is broken. That's the advantage. That's the benefit of praying in Jesus' name. So when I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Jesus is my advocate. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for me. That's why there's power in the name of Jesus. That's why you always hear in church people unleashing the name of Jesus. Because of his sacrifice and what he's done, it gives us full access to all the benefits of being an inheritor. But if we don't use the access, what good is it? Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's give God some praise. Let's give God some praise like he's done something in our lives. Now, I'm going to challenge you today. I'm going to open up the altar. Because I don't have to tell you. You know within yourself. Like I say, this is self-examination time. You know within yourself what you need to take before God. Once again, complaining and talking about it is not praying about it. The heavens are open. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know what's going on with my son. What's going on with my daughter. Now, if you don't, and the altar is open, if you don't have that relationship with him, we're going to give you that opportunity too. That will be the most beneficial decision you'll ever make in your life, giving your life to Christ. Yeah, I know you're trying to figure out, but yeah, I still got this going on. I still got that going on. He's not concerned about all that. He said, you just come, we'll work out everything else. And that's what he wants for us. Maybe you find yourself in a backslidden state. The Bible's clear. It says, I'm married to the backslider. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Now, you can turn your back on him, but he won't turn his back on you. Examine your own hearts. Examine your own hearts. Prayer. How's your prayer life? How often are you communing with God? Do you feel he's disappointed in you? See, I think a lot of times we compare God to our earthly fathers. And some of us have had healthy relationships with our father. Some of us haven't. So when we say father, sometimes we look at God as our natural father. And so if God says, I'll do this for you, the Heavenly Father, we think back to our dad and all the times that he told us he was going to show up and pick us up and take us here and take us there, and he never showed up. That's not our Heavenly Father. If he says he's there for you, which he is, if he says I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that's what he means. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You got to let your request be made known unto him. Some of you are worried about your kids. Give them to God. The Bible's clear. It says, train them up in the way that they should go so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. See, we worry too much about our kids. Yeah, they may be making some decisions, but what decisions were you making when you was 18? So instead of complaining about it or talking about it, you pray about it. Start anointing them shoes when they go to bed. Think I'm playing. Anoint them shoes when they go to bed. Start covering them in prayer. Start covering your families in prayers. And men, we have a responsibility to cover our home. I've yet to see in any neighborhood when the police come to the door and knock on the door and say, is your mama home? They don't. They say, is your dad here? Why? Because there's a level of authority that God has given us. And if we don't utilize that authority, if something's going on in our house, we should be the first ones praying about it. We should be getting up in the wee hours of the morning. We should be anointing. We should be talking about our finances. We should be doing all of those things. It starts with us. And we can't be afraid. So what? You only know two scriptures. You rest on those two scriptures. And God will give you more scripture. I never forget early on when I was learning and growing in the faith. I said, God, what if they ask me something I don't know? He said, tell them you don't know. And then go and find out. And so we put so much pressure on ourselves when that's not the same pressure that God puts on us. He's always like this, son, it's all good. It's all good. Just come and see me. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seen. I just want you to close your eyes for a minute.
Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. The house of
let him in. He's not going to force his way in. In this book, there's a prayer for self-deliverance that I'm feeling. It says, I break all generational curses of pride, rebellion, lust, poverty, witchcraft, idolatry, death, destruction, failure, sickness, infirmity, fear, schizophrenia, and rejection in the name of Jesus. I command all generational and hereditary spirits operating in my life through curses to be bound and cast out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of lust, perversion, idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, and immorality to come out of my sexual character in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of hurt, rejection, fear, anger, wrath, sadness, depression, discouragement, grief, bitterness, unforgiveness to come out of my emotions in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of confusion, forgetfulness, mind control, mental illness, double-mindedness, fantasy, pain, pride, memory recall to come out of my mind in the name of Jesus. I break all curses of schizophrenia, and I command all spirits of double-mindedness, rejection, rebellion, and root of bitterness to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of guilt. I command all spirits of guilt. I command all spirits of guilt. I command all spirits of guilt and shame and condemnation to come out of my conscience in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of pride, stubbornness, disobedience, rebellion, self-will, selfishness, and arrogance to come out of my will in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of addiction to come out of my appetite in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits of witchcraft, sorcery, divination, and occult to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits operating in my head, eyes, mouth, tongues, and throat to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits operating in my chest, lungs to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits operating in my back, spine to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits operating in my stomach, my navel, my abdomen to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits operating in my heart, spleen, kidneys, liver, pancreas to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits operating in my sexual organs to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits operating in my hands, my arms, my legs, and my feet to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all demons operating in my skeletal system, including my bones, my joints, my knees, my elbows, to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits operating in my glands and endocrine system to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits operating in my blood and circulatory system to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits operating in my muscles and muscular system to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all religious spirits of doubt, unbelief, error, heresy, and tradition to come out in through the religion in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits from my past. 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 Hallelujah! I command all spirits from my past that are hindering my present and my future to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all ancestral spirits that have entered my ancestors to come out in the name of Jesus. I command all hidden spirits, yes, Lord, all hidden spirits hiding in any part of my life to come out in the name of Jesus. He's worthy! Listen, we have got to get fed up with the devil. He's been beating us up too long, and we're standing around and we're taking it.
My altar never burned out.
Your prayers is what's gonna loose your family. It's your prayer. You're the one that's following Christ. Break those generational curses. You're wondering why you're going from relationship to relationship to relationship. That's a curse that's on your life. God wants to break that curse. Hallelujah.
Relational. It's relational. Altar workers, you can come if you're not already here. It's relational. There's some stuff going on. There's some stuff going on in our lives. And we keep acting like ain't nothing wrong. We keep acting like everything is good to go. And we leave out of here and the devil's constantly knocking us upside our head. When are we just going to say, I surrender all, Lord? I surrender all. I surrender all. God, you got it. I surrender all. God, I don't know what to do. I'm scared. And it's all right to be a man and say you're scared. But you go to the Father and he'll give you direction. He'll give you guidance. He'll lead and guide you so you can direct your family. But we can't keep acting like everything is okay. We come in here Sunday after Sunday. Leave out the same way we came in. And I'm going to be bold with it. Why you keep coming? When you come in here, we should be expecting God to move. Expecting him to move in our lives. Expecting us to give us clarity in areas of our life where we don't know. Don't make coming to church ritualistic. It's not about a check mark. Pastor says that all the time. It's not about a check mark. So y'all excuse my emotion because I'm not upset with you. I'm upset with the enemy because I see what he's doing to my people. That's what it's about for me. And you have to get to a point where you're tired of being tired. When you gonna put your foot down? You have to put your foot down. I can't do it for you. And I'm going to leave you with something. I'm playing God's blessing and favor over your life. Lord, bless me and keep me. Make your face shine upon me. Be gracious unto me. Lord, lift up your countenance upon me and give me peace. Make me as Ephraim and Manasseh. Let me be satisfied with favor and filled with your blessing. Lord, command your blessing upon my life. Give me revelation and let me be blessed. I am the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ, and I receive the blessing of Abraham. Lord, in blessing, bless me. And in multiplying, multiply me as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore. Let your showers of blessings be upon my life. Turn every curse sent my way into a blessing. Lord, turn every curse sent my way into a blessing. Lord, turn every curse sent my way into a blessing. Lord, send every curse sent my way into a blessing. Let your blessing make me rich. Let all nations call me blessed. Let all generations call me blessed. I am the son of the blessed. I live in the kingdom of the blessed. My sins are forgiven and I'm blessed. Lord, you daily load me with benefits. I am chosen by God and I am blessed. My seed is blessed. Let me inherit the land. I am a part of the holy nation and I am blessed. Lord, bless my latter end more than my beginning. Lord, let your presence bless my life. I drink the cup of blessing. Lord, bless me and cause your face to shine upon me, that your way may be known upon the earth and your health among all nations. Let my land yield increase and let the ends of the earth fear you. I know you favor me because my enemies don't triumph over me. Lord, be favorable unto me. Lord, grant me life and favor. Lord, I entreat your favor. Let your favor be upon my life as a cloud of the latter rain. Let your beauty be upon my life and let me be well favored. Now I need you to repeat this with me. I am highly favored. Now I need you to say it from your heart. I am highly favored. Lord, thank you for extraordinary favor. Now as you go into this week, you got to remember what you just said. You're highly favored, and God wants to show you extraordinary favor. So you got to look for it. Don't ask for it and don't look for it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time, Lord God. Teach us to pray more, Lord God. Teach us to seek your face more, day and night, night and day. Make us houses of prayer, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, when we know what to do, Holy Spirit, lead us to pray. When we don't know what to do, Holy Spirit, lead us to pray. When we're confused, Holy Spirit, lead us to pray. When we think we got it all together, Holy Spirit, lead us to pray. When we're struggling, Lord God, lead us to pray. Father God, we need you. Help us to really understand the access that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice. Father God, help us not to leave this place the same way we came in. Help us to properly manage our 24 hours, Lord God, and that we spend time with you on a daily basis, Lord God. Father God, help us to understand that it's not about quantity, but it's about quality, Lord God. And Father God, we'll be so careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Father God, I cover each family under the sound of my voice, Lord God. I plead the blood over them, their families, and everything that they're responsible for, Lord God. Father God, now you just continue to bless them and keep them.
Continue to deliver your people, Lord God, like only you can, Lord God. And we'll be so careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. It's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray, and we'll forever give you thanks. Amen and amen. See them hand praise.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Minister Brian. Thank you. Hallelujah. That even as Minister Brian was speaking, I did evaluate and reevaluate myself. Because it is easy to get into that mode of just complaining. Complaining about the things that you see, the things you encounter, the things you experience. And I even considered myself as a father. And I know that as a father, that if my child constantly complained to me, that wouldn't move me. But if my child came to me and said, "Dad, you said," said, "Dad, you said, I'm limited in my resources, but we serve an unlimited God. He's able to do anything and everything. If my son or my daughters came and said, 'Dad, you said that you would do this,' me and my limited self, I would try everything I could to fulfill the very word that I gave them. And I am man. You serve an awesome God. He desires to hear from you. To pray. To walk with him and to trust him. No matter what it is that you see, no matter what it is that you encounter, is not for man to just complain and to stop doing, but as Minister Brian said, is to pray without ceasing. Men ought to always pray, not complain about what you see. Amen. Now, I love God more than anything. I trust him more than anything. And before we leave today, we want to do communion. So if you would begin to come forward. Your Father in heaven loves you so much. We can begin to pass. Hallelujah. 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 these moments just before we take of the body and blood of Christ. The Bible tells us to let a man examine himself. The Bible teaches us that if you take it in an unworthy manner, that you bring condemnation to yourself. This is not the desire of God. So if you're going to take it, take it. If you're saved, take it. But make sure you get things right in this moment just before. Because he said he's faithful and just to forgive. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Hallelujah. 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 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. For sorry, that was wrong. Chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take of the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's partake of the blood of Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you in this moment and this very hour, Father, for the word and the message that you sent by your servant, by your friend, your son. And Father, we partake of and we take it in, we eat it, Father. And may each and everyone who hears and goes forth, Father, meditate on these things. Father, that we might receive that which you have for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we all said amen. Now we're going to bless you. I know Minister Brian, he kind of did a blessing already. I heard it. But never wrong with more blessings. Amen. So we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name in all the earth. We bless your comings and we bless your going. We bless your home, your finances. We bless your seed. We bless your children, even as some have begun to school and those who are about to go. We bless them even as they are going into and even when they come return home. We bless your jobs. We bless your communion, your friendships, your relationships. We bless everything that is God intended for your very purpose. And may you be so overflowing with love and blessing that you do what?